Astra Economic Week in Review. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Astra Investment Management. I'm joined today by my friend and colleague, Nick Porter. Nick, hello.
Hi, John.
I think we're going to mainly talk about inflation today. So, Nick, let's start the way we usually do, giving us a capsule, a view, nutshell take on the economy. How's the economy right now?
I think things are a bit of a crossroads. So the labor market obviously is extremely tight, and that's good news, particularly for lower income earners who have seen wages increase quite a bit, although perhaps not as much as we'd like in real terms. So that's broadly positive. I think that we've also seen some signs of cooling in things like PMI prints. And that's, you know, about as I would expect and as at the pace I would expect, meaning that as fiscal stimulus rolls off and things normalize to the extent that they can, I would expect us to sort of return towards trend growth or towards potential output.
Yeah. So I guess you're saying a soft landing is in the offing from your standpoint?
It's possible. We'll have to see what the Fed does. We'll touch on that a little bit later.
Yeah, I guess I would agree in broad strokes. Economy looks quite strong today. People are starting to talk about potential weakness this year, maybe next year. You do see economists' expectations for growth in the next 2 years sort of dropping a little bit week by week. But we haven't seen any signs of sort of a recession. We might have seen a few signs of the pace of growth moderating a little bit.
Interesting. I feel like every bank out there nowadays has a recession forecasted for 2023. And of course, parts of the curve inverting or flattening has got people a little bit concerned as well.
Yeah, people put a lot of stock in the idea that the yield curve can forecast recessions. Yeah, so I mean, there are some people who talk about recession possibilities, but so overall, like if you look at a pretty representative poll of economists, their forecast for 2023 comes out to about 2.3%, down from about 2.6 or 7% at the beginning of the year. So those forecasts have come down a decent amount, but still that's actually above trend growth, right? 2.3% would be above trend growth for 2023. If that materialized, we'd all take it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, it's not moderating, Nick.
Inflation.
Why don't you run through the inflation numbers for us?
Yeah, so headline CPI for the month of March was up 1.2%. That's month over month.
Which is cuckoo bananas, right?
Which is cuckoo bananas, right? That's 8.5% year over year. And the month prior was 7.9%. Core inflation, meanwhile, was 0.3% month on month. That's 6.5% year on year. So that's quite hot. That's developing economy hot. But I think if you look behind some of the numbers, there's actually some good signs. And I feel like we've said that before on this podcast, but this time we mean it. In particular, I think in the past, we've talked about the shift from durable goods to services and when that might occur, sort of returning to historical consumption patterns. And to that extent, I think this was an encouraging print. So core services were up 0.6%. Which sort of shows that people are switching over to consuming services again. And core goods, meanwhile, were down 0.4%. Last month, they were up 0.4%. So I think that shows that perhaps we're seeing a little bit of normalization, maybe even some demand destruction in durable goods.
Yeah, you do see that the core number was 0.3% month on month. That's down from the previous few months, though, right? So that could be things are cooling off a little bit. You do see a ton of the CPI was in gasoline, March 18% month on month gasoline prices in response to the surge in wholesale gasoline prices and crude oil prices, which is in turn a response to the war in Ukraine. Those prices are now lower than they were at the end of March. I'm not sure exactly how the survey works in CPI. It's probably like roughly an average throughout the month, right? It's continuous, they're continuously, but they have to like stop collecting at some point. I don't know. Anyway, the April number as of today is below the average of March and the end of March for both wholesale and retail gasoline. Not a ton, but broadly heading in the right direction so far.
Yeah, I mean, when energy is about two-thirds of the month-over-month increase, that's a pretty big deal. And I don't think anyone really expects that trend to continue, right? And again, going back to my earlier point, the question has really been, what's the path of durable goods or spending on goods versus services? And, you know, I think this sort of points to a peak.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only person who thinks that. Again, we've said this before, but plausibly this is the high watermark for CPI in this cycle. And that would make the Fed happy if CPI starts going in the right direction. In other inflation news, we had the PPI come out today. Those numbers were strong and stronger than expected. I personally don't have an unbelievable sort of framework for connecting PPI to CPI. Like, in theory, I understand how it works, but you can never get the math really to work right. In any case, the final demand PPI year on year up 11.2%, more than last month's 10%, more than this survey's 10.6%. Ex food and energy, somewhat lower, but still extremely high. In those, the month-on-month number did not moderate, right? That went the other direction, even in the core number. So that is a little bit alarming.
It is, yeah. And it brings up sort of the next point, which is, what is the Fed to do about all of this?
What is the Fed to do about all of this? So speaking of consensus, like, I'm seeing a consensus for 50 basis points next time and probably 50 basis points a time after that, which is probably a more hawkish consensus than the last time you and I talked.
Yeah, I think that's right. You've had certain Fed speakers come out and say, we're looking at 3% or 3.5% by the end of the year. Whatever the case may be, I do think that they'll start with some jumbo hikes. I think 250 basis point hikes for the next two meetings is probably correct. And then, of course, they've also started talking about the pace of quantitative tightening.
Yeah, so quantitative tightening, there were some hints about that in the minutes. I'm guessing that's going to start ASAP. Next meeting is May 4th, so like May 5th. And the pace that they're telegraphing is reasonably aggressive, but still not as much as they were buying even 3 months ago. I think, like, that would have been nice symmetry to let as much roll off as you were buying. And I think, what were they buying? $100 billion a month. And now they're going to be selling 60, right?
I remember. Yeah, that's right. $60 billion of treasuries and $35 billion of agency debt and mortgages, in other words.
Right. Right. Yeah, they definitely want to be out of the agency business. They've said that before, right? So they're going to keep the Fed's balance sheet is not going back to what it was when I was a child playing on swing sets, thinking about the Fed, but it's still going to be from, say, 5% of GDP to probably 10 to 15% of GDP. And they don't have a perfect guide of what to get to. I think it's going to be, you know, we'll know it when we see it. So the stopping and buying might be a little bumpy, but that's all far down the road. Right now, the Fed funds futures market is forecasting two hikes in May, another two hikes in June, and then single hikes after that for the next several meetings, bringing us to end of year between 225 and 250.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up around three at the end of the year. But again, if inflation starts moderating or we see some disinflationary trends, which I think we may well see if real wages continue to be negative, we see some more demand destruction. I think the Fed could also have cover to slow things down and finish out the rest of the year with just 25 basis point hikes.
It's certainly reasonable to say, okay, let's get to neutral as soon as possible, a real Fed funds rate of zero. It's hard to know what that is, but it's someplace probably around 2.5%, 2.5%, right? So get there soon, then we'll see, I think. And also, the year-on-year changes are about to become flattering to CPI, right? As opposed to exaggerating how bad it is. Yeah, there aren't any real signs of weakness. You see claims for unemployment insurance, I think, made, I don't know, lifetime low, maybe extremely low number, 164,000 claims filed, down from the 7 million or whatever it was a few years ago. And, you know, I do keep hitting on the weakness in consumer sentiment. That continues. And also, the small business optimism survey came out down month on month and below expectations. Interestingly, there is a survey the Fed does of consumer expectations, And they haven't been doing this forever, only like 10 years or something like that. But the number of people who said they'll think they're going to be worse off next year than they were this year is at a record high of almost 40%. So something, again, is getting to the consumer and making them sad. And if there's anything that makes me nervous, it's that weakness, right? Like people just decide to buy 5% stuff less than usual because they're sad. And like, that's a recession.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that flows through, or if it flows through into the real economy.
Right. That is something we will keep a close eye on. Anything else you want to talk about this week, Nick?
No, I think that about sums it up.
Well, thanks for listening. And if you need more of our analysis, you can check out the Aster website, asterim.com. That's IM for investment management. You can download the Aster research app, or you can reach out to your Aster sales representative. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, John.
To learn more about Aster Investment Management's research and strategies, please visit us on the web at www.asterim.com, or stay up to date by following us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and our app is also available on the App Store and Google Play. Thank you. Aster Investment Management, LLC, is a SEC-registered investment advisor. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state, where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investing purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations.